Good morning. Today's daf and sukkah's daf. Hey, we are in the bottom of Dalamud Beis. We're starting at the two dots. V'sheinu gvoa asar tfachim. Up until this point in the Masechta, we talked about the dimension of the sukkah, specifically the height, and specifically the maximum height that a sukkah can be. A sukkah cannot be more than 20 amos tall. And now the Gemara is going to turn its attention to the next halach of the Mishnah, and that's going to be the minimum height of a sukkah. A sukkah cannot be lower than 10 tfachim. And the Gemara today, one daf today, dedicated to answering one single question, and that is minalan. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know this? What's the source? That a sukkah cannot be lower than 10 tfachim. It will be a really interesting daf because, and if I may spoil the ending of today's daf, the Gemara is going to end up continuing that's halach l'moshe m'sinai. In other words, when given certain shiurim, so it is just simply our mesorot, our tradition, and this is part and parcel of halach l'moshe m'sinai. However, the Gemara will endeavor today, for today's daf, to try to find a source of this halacha based on precedent and based on other kalim and other shirim that we know about, and maybe the sukkah could be generated from that particular halacha. So even though it is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but the Gemara endeavors, and this is not the only time that the Gemara does so. This is I'd call it a standard move of the Gemara. I don't know how standard it is, but it is a standard move of the Gemara, where despite the fact that the answer is known, and we already know the conclusion, but the Gemara will endeavor to try to bring a drasha source, some sort of precedent to this halacha, based on providing some arguments. Okay, even though when all said and done, right, we know where all this is ending. Nevertheless, minalan, how do I know that the sukkah cannot be lower than 10 tfachim? So again, as a quick reminder of what we've been covering now for the past 3 days. From Sukkah's Dapim Beis through Dalit, right? The first three Dapim of our Masechta. So the Gemara, in terms of the maximum height of a Sukkah, can't be more than 20 Amos high. So for that, the Gemara gave three Svaras. In other words, it's interesting there. The Gemara didn't cite Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, nor did the Gemara cite any precedent. It's based on a Svara. You need a Yediyah, you have to be aware. You need the Sel HaSukkah, or it has to be a temporary structure, not a permanent structure. So those are the three svaras that the Gemara has now been operating with in terms of the maximum height of a sukkah. Now, when it comes to the minimum height of a sukkah being 10 tfachim, so the Gemara is going to seek precedent. So let's get underway. Minalan, how do I know? So Itmar, so the Gemara now is going to quote the following Amoraim. Rav, Ravi Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva. A collection of Amoraim together. And then the Gemara says, Masnu. So Bekula Seder Mawai Kolkei Zuga Khalifa Rav Yochanan Ma'ale Rav Yonasan. The Gemara says just editor's note. When I say editor, the Gemara is editing, and that is that the Gemara says that when you have this collection, so take out Rabbi Yochanan and replace it with Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, obviously in a detail, but Kola Omer B'Shem Omro, right, giving proper attribution in terms of who said a halacha. So it's maybe it's a gula. So it's important to make sure that we get it correct. And the Gemara says that specifically when you see, I don't know how often you're going to find this, but when you see these collection of Amoraim and you see Rav Yochanan included, so take out Rav Yochanan and replace it with Rav Yonasan. Anyway, Aron V'Tisha V'Kapar, Aron Tisha. So here it is. In other words, how do I know that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tfachim? Well, we'll start with the Aron. Now we know the Aron is 9 tfachim high, right? The Torah says that the Aron is Ama V'Chetzi Kamaso. It's an arm and a half tall, an arm of six tfachim. That's what we're going to assume. At least that's going to be our story for most of today's daf. At the end of today's daf, we're going to challenge that assumption. But an arm of six tfachim plus another half an arm, that's three. Six plus three is nine. Good. So the aron is nine tfachim high. The kapor is tefach. Now we know that there's a lid on top of the aron, a cover on top of the aron. Now we know the cover, the kapor is a tefach. Now, does the pasuk tell us that the kaparis is a tefach? No, the Torah does not tell us that. Okay, so that also needs clarification. But hari kana sarah. But you take nine, you add one to it, and you get to 10. Uksiv, and now the Torah says v'no adti lechasham v'dibarti itach me'al hakaparis. And the Torah says that I will come down to you and I will speak to you me'al hakaparis from above the kaparis. Okay, v'tanya, and we learned in a brayser Rabbi Yossi Omer me'olam lo yado shchina. Lamata, velo alo Moshe v'leyau lamarom shenemar, and we also know that Rav Yossi teaches us that Shechina did not come down lamata, Moshe did not go up lamarom shenemar shemaim shemaim l'Hashem v'aretz l'san livnei Adam. Okay, so in other words, we have clear borders of where Hashem can come down and where Moshe can go up. Okay, good. So. right? Hashem can only, right. Obviously, these limitations are self-imposed, right? But, okay, these are the limits. These are the borders. Good. So now we have this idea that when it comes to the Aron, so we now know the dimensions of the Aron, 10 tefachim. We now know that there are borders that are created based on this. And so, okay, fine. So 10 now becomes a limit. So the Gemara says, V'lo yarda shechina lamata. The Gemara says, now, let's just test these ideas that we've just put forward. And that is that the Shekhinah does not come below 10. The Gemara says, V'aksiva, yarda Hashem al Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Har Sinai. Okay, so, lamala me'asara, tefachim. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to take our Yesod, and we're just simply going to plug it into the Pesukim. So yeah, I know the Pesuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, but it means only up to 10 tefachim. He did not go and encroach below 10 tefachim, meaning from 10 tefachim of the ground. V'aksiva amdu raglav b'yamahu al har hazesim lamala me'asara. Pesuk in Zechariah gives a description of that, although despite the fact that his feet are on the floor, but lama'asara, the... This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, description of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, and his feet were al har zesim. Everything over here obviously is kaviyachol, right? It's an anthropomorphism, but the Gemara says, lamala me'asara tefachim. Once again, it was above 10 tefachim. So, velo alu Moshe v'liyahu lamaram. Okay, so, two challenges where it sounds like from Pesukim that a Kadosh Baruch Hu came within 10 tefachim. The Gemara says, no, he did not. And now the Gemara says, now let's go in the other direction. And that we cannot go within 10 tefachim of Shemayim. The Gemara says, now, that's not true. V'aksiv, v'moshe Allah el halokim. So Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, lamata me'asar. Yeah, but that was below 10 tefachim. V'aksiv, v'ayal aliyah b'sa'ara Shemayim, lamata me'asar. Again, same question, same answer. What about Eliyahu? He went up to sa'ara Shemayim. The Gemara says, yeah, but below 10 tefachim. V'aksiv, the Pasuk says, ma'acheiz b'nei kisei pirshu alav anano. So the Pasuk in Niyuv describing Moshe holding on to the Pnei Kisei. Now, if you're holding on to the Pnei Kisei, it's really hard to argue that you're below 10 tefachim if you're holding on to the Kisei. And we have a Masara that Kadosh Baruch Hu was poris Shechina on Moshe. Right? Probably this is connected to the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos giving more of a description of Moshe going up L'Shamayim for the 40 days when he went up on Har Sinai. So, right, the Malachim were attacking, the Malachim were challenging, the Malachim wanted to burn Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to protect you. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a bubble, right, a dome, an iron dome, if you will, for Moshe, to protect Moshe. Anyway, it certainly sounds like if he's holding on to the Kisei, he was within 10 tefachim of Shemayim. So the Gemara says, Lamata me'asara. So the Gemara says, no, he was below 10. So the Gemara says, okay, how can it be below 10 and hold on to the Kisei? So the Gemara says, Ishtervu ve ishtarvev le Kisei ad asara v'nakabe. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowered his Kisei within, below the 10 tefachim and allowed, afforded Moshe the opportunity to hold on to the Kisei HaKavon. Okay. I understand. The Gemara over here has got a lot of challenges, a lot of defenses, and the defenses are just basically, look, we have the Masorah and that's it. We're sticking with our Masorah. Okay. So far, in the Gemara now, we are trying to argue that the source of this idea that Ten Tefachim is the border, it creates a Rishus, meaning up to from the ground up, Ten Tefachim. So that is our Rishus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not encroach into that area. And so now, once that establishes a Rishus Bifnei Atzmo, so that's the source that tells us that the sukkah cannot be above, the sukkah must be at least 10 tefachim. Okay. Admittedly, even within this proof, it goes without saying, but I'll say it. It's difficult to understand, meaning what's the connection? In other words, okay, so we have rishuyos, but how does that have to do with sukkah? Okay, so obviously the connection runs deep over here, but the Gemara obviously feels that these two ideas are connected. But the Gemara, even within this approach that we're learning it from the Aron and Kapar, so Gemara still has a lot of follow-up questions. Bishlam Aron Tisha Dichsiv Asur Aron Atzei Shitim Amatayim V'Chatzi Arko V'Ama V'Chetzi Rechbo V'Ama V'Chetzi Kamaso. So the idea of the Aron being 9 tefachim high, so we have a pasuk in the Torah, and the Torah says very clearly that the height of the Aron was an Am and a half, and as we established, an Am is 6 tefachim, and then another half is going to be 3 tefachim, 6 plus 3 is 9. So the Gemara says, so that's fine, I get that. But Ela Kapara is Tefach Minalan. But the idea that the cover on top of the Aron is going to be another Tefach, but we don't have a pasuk teaching us that. And you just said it. And how do you know that? So the Gemara says, "Dini Rabbi Chanina Kol Hakim Shas Moshe Nasta Mehem Torah Midas Arkan Umidas Rachvan Umidas Kamasan." So look, when you go through the Pesukim in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, and you go through all the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, generally speaking, so we are given all three linear dimensions: length, width, and height. Kapores, but when it comes to the Kapores, Midas Arkan Umidas Rachvan Nasta Midas Kamasalon Nasta. But by the Kaparis, we're given length and width, and we're not given height, and we don't know what the height is. Okay, so now it's Seil Amad. Okay, sounds like the Haggadah, but okay, good. Meaning, we don't know, so now it's Seil Amad. So let's try to see if we can learn a Vaya Drasha. So think about, by the way, how many levels of Drashas we're in. Meaning, right now, we're trying to find that minimum height of a Sukkah being 10 Tvachim. We're learning it now from the Aron V'Kaparis. Now, within the Aron V'Kaparis, we now need another Drasha to tell us how high the kaparis is. The Aron, the Torah tells us, the kaparis, the Torah does not tell us. And so now we need another drasha. So we're deep, deep into drashas in terms of trying to generate the number 10 tvachim. So tzeilamam bipachushe bekelim. So the Gemara says, okay, so the kaparis is how high? So right now, unknown. It's a question mark. So the Gemara says, so let's learn that from other kelim. Let's look around and let's create what's called a binyanav. And over here, I say that with pun intended. Right? In other words, we're looking at the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll just simply look around and see what is the precedent. Shenemar v'asisalo mizgeret tefach saviv. So there's a mizgeret around the shulchan. Okay? Mizgeret is a frame. So there's a frame around the shulchan. If you happen to have a picture, it would be really helpful. The frame is basically like the table that's in front of me right now. So I got a very narrow metal frame around it. The frame over here is going to be providing support, presumably. For the shulchan. Now it could also be, as the Gemara in a moment is about to entertain, that the frame or the Torah just simply says that the frame is a tefach. That the Torah says. Torah does not say whether the frame is below the shulchan or it's above the shulchan. And in a moment, the Gemara is going to entertain both possibilities. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that the frame is below the shulchan, right, like this border that's around this very narrow table in front of me. So mizgeres tavich saviv, mesamal lahalan tefach af kan tefach. So there we have a shear, and the shear is a tefach. So the Gemara says, so too over here, the kaparis is going to be a tefach. Okay, that's called the binyanav. So v'nelev mikelim gufayu. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? I got other kelim in the Beis HaMikdash with other measurements. So you're talking now about the mizgeret of the shulchan. Why don't you look around the room right now? Look around the Beis HaMikdash. Why don't we learn it from another kli? So the Gemara here invokes the principle, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. So, the Gemara in numerous places, and this one being one of the primary locations in Shas, says that, look, we have the following rule, and that is that if you're tofes meruba, if you grab a lot, lo tafasta, you haven't grabbed. But tafasta mua, you tafasta, but you take a little bit, and then you're tofes. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi over here writes the following. Rashi gives a classic understanding of tafasta meruba. Look at Rashi. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Kol davar shemashmal meruba umuat. So let's say you have now an ambiguity and you can go in numerous directions. You can either go to a large shear or you can go to a small shear. Like our case over here. We're trying to figure out the height of the kaparis. We're looking around the Beis HaMikdash and there are many kalim around. So what am I going to choose? Choose the small. Rashi goes on to explain. Im tafasta samuat yafa tafasta. So if you took the smallest measurement out there, congratulations, you did an excellent job. Because there's nothing smaller you could have done. Now, if you want to go larger, so you can, but in other words, but at least at this point in time, we know that you did good. And even if you were to take more, you're not going to lose what you have in your hand, because what you have in your hand is certainly at least correct. Tafasta meruba, but let's say you grab something that's really big. So lo tafasta, that's no good. Why? Shatanira kishakran bidvarecha. Rashi over here, strong language. Rashi says you're like a shakran, you're like a liar. Right? Vishema hamu yeshlecha litfos. Because you don't know if that's the one you should have taken. Maybe you could have taken something smaller. Vahatari besa, and you got greedy. So litfos. Chasulacha mimashabiadecha. Now, what's it called? Take away from that which is in your hand. Behind the lota fasta, and that's the understanding of lota fasta, meaning it's not good what you took. Avakashetitfos amuat, im yosifotovi, im lav, masha tafasta tafasta, But if you took something small, so you could always take more, and what you took is very good. Umashahu, and Rashi says, and obviously all this serves as a parable. So basically, the Rashi's understanding is of tafasta meruba lo tafasta, is that look, right? I'm not saying this politically. Be conservative, right? You have an opportunity of different choices of what to take. You take the small one. You did good. You could always take more, but at this point in time, you know, in the very least, it includes this. However, once you take something larger, you don't know, right? It could be that you took the wrong one. Okay. Anyway, that's Rashi's understanding. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, so Tosfos also goes over this idea of tafasta meruba. If you could just quickly turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf and see the Tosfos over here. So he entertains a couple of explanations. They're a little bit slightly different than Rashi. The first explanation of Tosfos of tafasta meruba is that, look, you are given a choice of numbers. Okay, let's say, right, the classic example is that, let's say the Torah uses Lashon Rabbim, right? It says something in the plural. And so now, what does that give you? It gives you an infinite choice of numbers to choose from. Anything from two and above. So one explanation that Tosfos gives is that tafasta meruba lo tafasta, you can't be tofes meruba, because at that point in time, what are your choices? Infinite. So which number are you going to choose? Now, but meanwhile, if you choose the number two, so tafasta muat tafasta. Okay, so in other words, good. So what you've taken is good. That's one explanation. Now, but Tosfos admits, however, that this unlimited explanation is limited, meaning that works in a case where we're talking about numbers and anything above is an unlimited number. And so fine, so there it works. But like in our scenario over here where we're looking around to find which kli are we going to compare it to, it's not unlimited. There is a limited number of kalim. So this explanation really doesn't work as it relates to, let's say, our discussion over here. So Tosfos readily admits that explanation works by numbers, but not in other locations. Tosfos, later in that Tosfos, gives a different explanation. It sounds a little bit similar to Rashi, but I'm sure you can strike a difference. And he goes on to say as follows. Vizeo Perusho. If you want to find me, I'm just going to read an excerpt of the Tosfos on Hamad Beis. It's Tosfos Divrei Maschil Tafasta Meruba. It's about three quarters of the way down. Last two words in the line. Vizehu Perusho Shel Tafasta Meruba. Dima Tofes Esamuat Ein Motzin Osom Yadcha Shamuat Bechlal HaMeruba. What we're doing, if you choose the smallest option, so we can't take that from your hand, because whatever you took, a larger number is going to, this will be included in the larger number, or in the larger amount. Ava Balitfos HaMeruba, but once you take the larger one, so Om Lecha Have Raya. So if you take a larger one, so we're looking at you and say, do you know you're right? We don't know that you're right. Right, have a raya v'tol. Bring a proof and then take that large one. Okay, so that's another possibility as well. Meaning that when you choose the smallest option, so you for sure have the right answer. It may be that plus something else, but at least you know for sure in that smallest amount that you are at least either correct or within correct. As opposed to taking a larger one, you may be wrong. Okay, good. All right, good. That is a sampling of explanations of the principle of tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta meruba tafasta. So again, now let's go back to our Gemara and let's plug it all back in over here. We are looking now for the height of the kaparas. The Torah does not give it to us. Say ulamad. The Gemara says, okay, so let's look around the Mishkan. Let's see what else is there. The Mizgeret. The Mizgeret is a tefach, so therefore the kaparas is a tefach. Good. Why don't we go with other options? The Gemara says, no. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. No, once you go to a bigger option, so again, you can say it so many different ways. Either near Kishakran, like Rashi. The first Pshan Tosos, it's not going to work. The second Pshan Tosos, no. If I say a tefach, look, I could say it's correct. It may be more than that, but in the very least, whatever's more than that is including this. Okay, whatever. Okay, good. So, that is where we are in the Gemara. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're back on Hamad Aleph. We're halfway down. Avkan tefach v'neila mikalim gufayu. Now, we just did that. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Tafasta meruba tafasta. Good. First wide line of the Amud. V'neilof mitzitz. Why don't we learn from the tzitz? D'tanya, we learned in Ebraisa, tzitz doma kemin tas shel zahav. Okay, the head plate of the Kohen Gadol is a golden head plate. It's made up of gold. It's two tfachim wide. Umuk of males and lows and goes from ear to ear. Viksiv ala veishitim, and there are two rows. Yud hei milamala. Kodesh lamed milamata. Excuse me. Milamata. And the words, the word Kodesh Lamed is one row, and the Gemara's description over here is Malamata, meaning it's the lower row. And then just reading it for obviously from right to left, and then it says La Hashem, in other words, Shem Hashem, or like one line above it, obviously to the left. Once again, if you have pictures, so then you'll see in the pictures. And yes, there are various positions and opinions in terms of how exactly it's to be written. The Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Ani Reisa Barome because of love Kodesh Lashem B'Shita Achas. And here we have now Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says that I was in Rome, and this should sound familiar because we did this in Yuma, and this is based on the Gemara Me'ilan Daf Yud Zayin. Okay, he went to go visit Rome. He had to rip up a decree. He went into the Beis Agniza. Right, the Gemara in Yuma. That's right. Excellent. The Gemara in Yuma. He saw the parochas. The parochas had blood on it. Right. It did not resolve. He attempted to resolve a machlokas in terms of whether or not the Hazav Yom Kippur is going on the parochas or lifnei haparochas. He says, "Why are we arguing? I saw it." And meanwhile, they're still arguing here as well. Same discussion. I saw it, and they say to him, "That's lovely." So I'm glad you saw it. So anyway, okay. So why don't we learn out from the from the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, "Dani kli mikli vein dani kli mitachshit." So the Gemara says, "We learn out a kli from a kli, and we do not learn out from a tachshit. This is just simply ornamental." Now I say ornamental. Obviously, it's more than ornamental. Meaning, it's part of the big day kahuna. Kohen Gadol must be wearing the Shmona Begadim in order to serve in the base of Mikdash. Okay, but still, categorically, it's not the same thing. We are discussing right now Kalim. We're talking about the Aron and the Kapares. To compare it to the Misgaris of the Shochan, that's fine. That's a Kli to a Kli. But to compare it to the Tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, that's Kli to Tachshit. It's a different category. So, Venelev Mi Zer. So the Gemara says, why don't we learn about from the crowns? Three Kalim in the base of Mikdash had an ornamental crown around it. Basically, it looked like, right, small little triangles that went around the perimeter. The Shulchan, the Aron, and the Mizbech, thank you. The Shulchan, the Aron, and the Mizbech, so all three of them, so they had a Zer around it. Amar Mar Zer Mashahu, and on top of that, we also have a Yesod, we have a Misora, that its height was just the smallest amount. So it was decorative, and it was really tiny. So why don't we learn it from the Zer? So done in Kli, Mekli, Vein, done in Kli, Mehechsher Kli. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not a Kli, that's Hechsher Kli. Again, the Gemara puts it into a different category. So, E, Hachi, Mizgeret, Nami, Hechsher Kli, Hu. So the Gemara says, can't you say the same thing about the Mizgeret? So Mizgeret, Lamata, Aisa. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a Hechsher Kli, because it's Lamata. So again, I foreshadowed this a couple of minutes earlier. But now the Gemara is going to be discussing and deliberating this frame that went around the Shochan. Was it below or was it above? So the Gemara says it's below. Now, if it's below, so that is to provide structure for the Kli. And the Gemara says then it's a Kli. So then the comparison between the Kaparis and the Mizgaris is a good comparison. Hanich laman damer mizgarta lamata haisa laman damer mizgarta lamala haisa ma'ika lamemar hai hechsher Kli hu. So the Gemara says, okay, but it happens to be that there's an opinion that the Mizgeres is not below the Shulchan, but the Mizgeres is above the Shulchan, and it's above the Shulchan, and it's not there to provide any structure for the table, but rather it's there as ornamental, it's Hechsher Kli. And now the whole argument falls apart. How do I know the height of the Kaparis? We're going to compare it to the Mizgeret. The Mizgeret is a Tefach. But categorically it's not the same. If the Mizgeres is above the table, so now it no longer falls under the category of Kli, it now falls into this category of Hechsher Kli, the comparison now is lost, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to try again. Eladan and Davar Shenitna Batorah Mida, Midavar Shenitna Batorah Mida, Vayochich Tzitz Vizer, Shelo Nitna Behem Torah Mida Klal. So the Gemara says, okay, so to salvage this approach, we'll say as follows. I guess we're going to reset the categories. I'm not really sure what the Gemara is going to do with the category argument, but let's just, for the sake of explaining the Gemara and arguing on behalf of the Gemara, let's just do away with the categories, and let's just say like this. We need to know how tall the kaparis is, how high the kaparis is, the cover of the Aron. And now we're going to look around and we're going to compare it. So compared to the Zer, compared to the Tzitz, do you know that the Torah does not give a shear for the Tzitz, and the Torah does not give a shear for the Zer? Now, I know just moments earlier the Torah says that the Tzitz is two Tfachim. I know that, but as Tosfos here points out, the Torah didn't tell us that. In other words, we imagine that's two Tfachim tall. Meaning because, again, what it does is it covers the forehead. So take two Tfachim, put it over your forehead, but the Torah doesn't give that shear. So as we're looking now for a shear for the Kaparis, and we're looking now for some other clean in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizgeres is the obvious choice because although there are smaller items, but there's no smaller item with a smaller shear that's mentioned in the Torah. The Mizgeres is the smallest item in the Torah that actually has a shear to it. Okay. That is all approach number one of the Gemara. So again, we're right now learning, trying to figure out what is the height of a minimum sukkah tent fachim, and what we're doing is we're learning it from the Aron. And because we're learning it from the Aron, so the height of the Aron, so what's given to us is 9 tfachim, which is the Aron itself. The kaporas is unknown, but we've deduced now, it's also a tefach. So 9 plus 1 is 10. Ah, there we go. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, we're on the very bottom of Hey Amad Aleph. Rav Huna says, why don't we do it this way? Which is, Alpaneh kaporas kedmam. We're in the same area. We're still learning from the Aron. We're still deducing the height of the Kaparas. And so the Gemara says, we don't have to compare it to the Mizgeres. We could just simply deduce it from the Pasuk itself. Because the Torah, in giving a description of the Kaparas, says the Pnei HaKaparas, that's the face of the Kaparas. So as I'm looking at the side of the Kaparas, the Torah compares it to a Panim. It's the face. Now your face is what? Vein Panim Pachos Mitefach. Now a face is a Tefach. Okay. I don't know what we're measuring when we say that the face is a tefach. Okay. Face is, you know, from the chin to the top of the head is more. Maybe up to the eyes. I'm really not sure. The Gemara says that it's a tefach. So ve'ema, you think it's the width of the face? Maybe. I simply don't know. So ve'ema, the Gemara says ve'ema, well look, when you say faces, you know, ve'ema ke'ape debar yuchni. Once again, by the way, this is, should sound reminiscent. We did this back in Yuma. The comparison to the Bar Yuchni. The Bar Yuchni is this massive bird of mythical proportions. The Gemara in, I say mythical, by the way, it's a Gemara in Bechoros. Rashi over here cites that the Gemara in Bechoros and Daphne and Zion. So gives dimensions of the Bar Yuchni. Actually, right, to be a little bit more accurate, it gives us dimensions of the egg that's laid by the Bar Yuchni. The Bar Yuchni laid an egg, sank 60 cities. Okay. The Gemara means it literally. The Gemara means it b'lashon guzma. Regardless, the point of all this is that the face of the Bar Yochni is significantly larger than a tefach. So the Gemara says tafasamru b'lo tafasta tafasta mu'a tafasta. So for a second time today, we're treated to the principle of look. I have options of what to choose from. So choose the most conservative and the smallest option, and that's the face of a human being. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Ve'ema akape ditziparta dezuta tuva. Well, what do you mean? If you want to be conservative, go with a face that's smaller. All right. I'll say a hummingbird. I don't know if it's a hummingbird, but you understand. It's an extraordinarily small bird that is a really small face and it's less than a tefach. So Amar Avach by Yaakov. So Rav Huna Pnei Gamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so the reason why we know it's the face of a human is because we're going to learn it via Gzeira Shava. Ksiv Hacha Pnei Akaparos. Ksiv Hacha Me'ez Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. So fine. So we have now a Gzeira Shava. Connecting the Pnei of the Kaparis to the Pnei of Yitzhak Avinu. And so therefore it gets to the Panim of a person, which is a Tefach. So again, we've been dealing with a lot of anthropomorphism today. And here we go. Another round today of Kaviyachol. And that is the Pnei Elokim. So the Pnei Elokim is going to be, let's assume, larger. Right? Obviously. Right? Making points over here that are really obvious. Obviously, it's not quantifiable, and obviously, it's an anthropomorphism. It's just a way for us to conceptualize and conceive, but it obviously, in a goof, in the most goof, there's Obviously, there's no form, there's no physicality. It goes without saying. But we have psukim that give us an anthropomorphism, and therefore, the Gemara is assuming that it's larger. So the Gemara says, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Okay, so now it's going to be, right, just consider the layers over here. We have now Gzeira Shava, and layered on top of the Gzeira Shava is also the rule of tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Okay. Avenel of Mikruv. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we learn that from the Kruv? Dechsev al kapars yu pnei hakruvin. So you have a Gzeira Shava, so why don't we learn now from the Pnei HaKruv? Okay. This discussion, by the way, admittedly, it's not hard. It's not difficult. It's just a lot to follow. And we're talking about Gzeira Shava over here. And generally speaking, we have Gzeira Shava. Like, we don't opt which way to go with Gzeira Shava. Gzeira Shava usually is a Mesora. And over here, the Gemara is, you know, like hunting around, maybe this Pnei, maybe that Pnei. Okay. So the Ela Kaparos Yu Pnei HaKruvim. So over here, why don't we say it's the Pnei HaKruvim? Amar Rav Acher Bar Yaakov Gemiri Ein Pnei Kruvim Pechusim Mitefach. The Gemara says, okay, so maybe it is the face of the Kruv, but we have a Mesorah that the face of a Kruv is the Tefach. Rav Huna Nami Mehacha Gamir. And the Gemara says, and you know what? Rav Huna learns it from there as well. Meaning, in Achanami, he learns it from the Pnei HaKruv, but it happens to be the Pnei HaKruv is the Tefach. Okay. Adkan, that gets us basically to another... another source, but it's not really another source. It's just another way to complete the sentence. Meaning the sentence starts off, how do I know that the sukkah is 10 tefachim high? So we're learning it now from the Aron. Aron plus Kruv. Aron is 9 tefachim. How do I know that the Kruv is 1 tefach high? So the answer is either we're going to learn it from the Mizgeris, or we're going to learn it based on the Gzeira Shava because the Torah describes the Kruv as the Pnei HaKruv. And we're going to learn it from Panim, and it could be we're learning the Pnei HaKapores from the Pnei HaKruv. Okay, good. Umay Kruv. Now the Gemara.
So since the dimension of the oven is given in Tfuchim, then the smallest dimension in Tfuchim is 1 tefach.
But the Aaron is not given in Tfuchim.
It is given in
Tfuchim. No, the Torah says Amma Vechetzi.
I mean, but we know that it's. Six
tefach. Right, but the Torah doesn't use the word tefach. The Torah only measures an amos. Okay, so umay kruv. So the Gemara says fine. So what is a kruv? Right. So the Gemara now spends just a couple of short moments describing over here what's the kruvim. So I'm Rabbi Abba Karavia, small children. She came above a koron liyunuk Karavia. Right, you go out to Bavel and you see children, and you're going to hear the term Ravi being used. Okay, so Kruvim comes from the Aramaic word Ravia. It's not strange, meaning it is, but it's not. It's not strange that we're deriving definitions of Psukim in the Torah based on other languages. It happens, right? The Gemara does it. I don't want to say with frequency, but it happens. And here's an example. So Amalei Abayi Elamiata Dechzip Pnei Acha Pnei Akruva Pnei Asheni Pnei Adam Hainu Kruv Hainu Adam. So the Gemara says, So the pasuk in Yecheskel describing it as the Pnei HaKruv and the other one's Pnei Adam. So the Gemara says Ape Rava Veva Ape Zutre. So the Gemara says, yeah, one is an older man and the other one is a younger boy. The Gemara says, but it really amounts to the same. Right? In other words, we're right. In other words, the Kruvim themselves are the face of a young child. Okay. And that was just a moment in time in the Gemara where the Gemara now is going to just give us a little bit more of a description of the Kruv. Okay. Umi mai. How do I know? So far, to answer the question, how do I know that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim? Answer right now, I learned from the Aron. Follow-up question. Umi mai dechalal asar bar mischacha ema behadischacha. So the Gemara says, and in one line, the Gemara basically is going to not erase, but force us to rethink our entire daf today. The Gemara says, look, you want to learn that from the Aron? Think of the model of the Aron. What is the Aron? So its interior is 9 tefachim high, and then a lid is put on it, pretty thick lid of 1 tefach. Fine. If that's going to be our source for the sukkah, so what does that tell us regarding the sukkah? It means that the sukkah can be 9 tefachim high, and then you're going to put on a layer of 1 tefach thick schach on top of that, and that will be kosher sukkah. Now, clearly that's not the case, because our Mishnah says that the interior of the sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high. So as much as we try to learn out from the Aron, when all said and done, it didn't work. We're one tefach short of where we want to be. Okay? So, right, even though we've just devoted an amud and a half of precious real estate, going over an approach which the Gemara ends up abandoning, okay, what does that tell us? So again, first of all, it tells us that just the nature of Gemara is that trial and error, meaning that's what Gemara is. And on top of that, also, right, my Chavrusa pointed this out, right, if the Gemara is endeavoring to learn it out from the Aron, there must be deep connections that exist, connections that I cannot articulate, but deep connections that exist between the Sukkah and the Aron where the Gemara is choosing, obviously it's a choice, where the Gemara is choosing to learn out the Sukkah from. Okay. So we just did that. So, Ella Gamar mi beis olamim. I'm sorry. So, Ella mi beis olamim Gamar. So the Gemara says, fine, so we're going to try now to learn out from the beis olam, from the beis hamikdash. Dichsiv. So, okay, so we need to know a couple of givens, and once we have the givens, so then we'll understand. Habayis asher ba'amalach shalom la'ashem, shishim ama arkav, esrim rachva, v'shloshim ama kamasa. Okay, so again, right now, everything's on height, so we only need to focus on the height number, and that is that the Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomo HaMelech was 30 amas high. Okay? Shorter than the Beis HaMikdash of Bais Sheni? Fine. 30 amas high. Uksiv kamasa kruva echad eser ba'ama. V'chena kruva sheni. Okay, now, we also know that there were kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. And we know that the kruv was 10 amas high. Okay. So, total height, 30 amas. Height of the kruv, 10 amas. V'tanya. So Mishkanami Kruvim Bishlish Abayis Enomdim. So the idea that the Kruvim went up a third of the total height, so that's a Mematzino. That now is establishing precedent. That means that the Kruvim always finished at a third of total. Okay, now, Mishkan Kamahavu. So now we're going to take this and now we're going to move it over to the Mishkan. Total height of the Mishkan, so that's Eser Amos. So the Mishkan itself is 10 Amos high. Dechsiv, Eser Amos, Aruch HaKerish. Fine. So the Kerashim, those are the beams on its height is 10 Amos high. And obviously then you lay on top of that all the coverings, right? Three or four coverings. We discussed that not so long ago in the Daf. Anyway. So Kama Havalu Shisim Pushche. So now 10 Amos comes out to how many Tvachim? So it's 10 times 6. That's 60 Tvachim. So talseha kamahave. So now a third of 60 tvachim is 20 tvachim. Esrim pushchei dal asara da aron vekaparos. Now the aron and kaparos is 10 tvachim. Okay, see the first half of today's daf for that discussion. So now I'm at 20 tvachim. I'm going to take 10 away from the aron. Pashalu asara. So the airspace now that exists between the aron and now the first third of its height is going to be 10 tvachim. Uksiv. And now finally, after going through all the numbers, here's the punchline. And now the Kruvim are going to spread their wings over the Kaparas. Meaning now we're describing the Kruvim that are built on top of the Kaparas, in which they're going to be facing one another, and they're spreading their wings over the space. The key word over here, as Rashi points out, is Hayu Akruvim Parse Kanafayim Lamala. Sochechim bekanfeihem. Rashi points out the key word over here is that they're creating a canopy, but the Torah doesn't say the word chuppah. The Torah says the word schach. Sochechim bekanfeihem lakapars. Karyachmana schach alamalami asara. Okay, I say Rashi, it's really the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do we see over here? That their wings that were spread over the top is a schach that's forming over this 10 tefach airspace. Okay. Okay, that is, granted, by the way, a lot of assumptions to get here, but we're here. Meaning, so once we've established using the Beis HaMikdash that built by Shlomo HaMelech as serving as our model, as our prototype, and now once we establish that the Kruvim are basically going up one third from the ground, so now we're going to go to the Mishkan, we're going to go one third from the ground up, that is where the wings of the Kruvim are going to spread. We also know that the Aron went up 10 tvachim, so the airspace between the wings and the top of the Aron is going to be 10 tvachim. So the Gemara says, fine. Mi mai digadfinu ilavei rashai kaime, dama lahade rashai kaime. Gemara says, wonderful. I have a question. How do I know that the wings of the Kruvim are going above their head? Maybe they go opposite their head. meaning the wings, if you will, don't go above 10 tefachim, but go into the 10 tefachim of this airspace. So the Gemara says, no. It says above. The Gemara says, well, maybe it goes well above. So miksiv lamala lamala. No, the Torah doesn't say lamala lamala. It just simply says it one time. Okay. So what we have achieved now is another possible source that tells me that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. Why? Because of the schach that's created by the kruvim when they spread their wings over one another to create an area below their wings. Their area between the wings and the top of the aron is 10 tefachim. And we use that based on the base of Mikdash model of Shlomo HaMelech. Hanichal Reb Meir. And now, as much as the Gemara now endeavored, and we spent the entire daf today, trying to find sources for the 10 tefachim, the Gemara says this is going to fall apart according to one Tana. Hanich l'Rav Meir Damar Kol Amos Ayu Beinonios Ela l'Rav Yehuda Damar Amos Shal Binyan Shisha Tefachim V'Shal Kelim Chamisha Mai Ikal HaMemar. It happens to be a major machlokas hatanayim. Now, when building the Binyan HaMikdash, so an Amma is going to be made up of 6 Tefachim. Everyone agrees to that? Fine. However, when talking about the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which Amma measurement are you going to use? Now, you think that the Amma measurement is standard? Generally, it is. However, there is an opinion that for the Ammas for Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, so you need to use not a 6 Tefach Amma, but rather a 5 Tefach Amma. So and that is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that the Amma Shel Kelim is Chamisha, which means now that how big is our own at this point in time? When the Torah says an Amma and a half now comes out to 7.5 Tfachim. And the Gemara now goes through the numbers. So Aron v'Kaporos Kama Havalu Tamna Yapaga. So now 8.5. How did the Gemara arrive at 8.5? Because add the Kaporos. Meaning we're still going to assume the Kaporos is 1 Tefach. So it's 7.5 plus 1, that's 8.5. So now Pashlu Chatzre Paga. Now we know the structure of the Beis HaMikdash is still a constant. And that's going to be now 60 Tefachim. The Mishkan, I should say, 60 Tefachim high. But 60 Tefachim high, now we're going to go to the top of the first third. So that's going to get us 20 Tefachim off the ground. But now the Aron itself now has been reduced to 8.5 Tefachim. That airspace now between them now is 11.5. Eim asuka adahav yachad she'el paga. So El Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I will say after an entire daf, and that is Hilchsa Gemiri La. So what is it? Talach L'Moshe Misinai. Meaning, how do I know that the minimum height of an Aron is 10 Tefachim? So Talach L'Moshe Misinai. Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav Shiurin, Chatzitza Mechitza, Talach L'Moshe Misinai. When dealing with measurements, when dealing with the idea of Chatzitza, tomorrow I'm going to explain that much better. The Gemara is going to explain that better. And when dealing with Mechitzas, all the halachas of Mechitza, we've already in yesterday's daf been exposed to a whole bunch. Good Asik, from yesterday's daf alone. Good Asik, Lavud, Dofen Akuma. Right? Good. So all these are halach l'moshmi Sinai. And so the Gemara says enachinami. Meaning what we have done is that as much as we endeavored and tried to cite a support and basis from other kelim in the base of Mikdash or the height of the Mishkan, when all said and done, just for some Tanayim, there really is not going to be an acceptable source to find it from. And it's just simply halach l'moshmi Sinai. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to go over halach l'moshe misinai of shiurin, of chatzitza, of mechitza. So please stay tuned, come back. Tomorrow is going to be one of those really fundamental daf. I mean, they're all fundamental, but tomorrow's a fundamental daf regarding this idea of halach l'moshe misinai. Okay, let's recap our daf today. Okay, our daf dealt with one single question, and just to summarize. The Mishnah tells us that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So we spent the first 3 dapim of our Masechta Beis Gimel Dalid going over the maximum height of a sukkah being 20 amos. Now today's daf hey, so we're going over the minimum height of a sukkah being 10 tefachim. Minalan. So how do I know that? So we have now covered 2 approaches and then the third approach at the end for the Tanayim that will just simply not be able to accept either the first 2 approaches. So the first approach is that we're going to be learning it from the Aron. We know that the Aron is 10 tefachim high. How do I know the Aron is 10 tefachim high? So the Torah describes the Aron as being Amma v'chetzi komaso, And we're going to assume that the kaparos is a tefach. So that's 9 plus 1, that's 10. Okay, that's approach number one. Mm-hmm. It took us a while to figure out that the kaparos is a tefach. And how do I know that? But anyway, that's one approach. That approach falls short because the Aaron model, the airspace is not 10 tefachim. The airspace is only 9. The kaparos on top of that is obviously not airspace. And if that's going to be the basis, so then the sukkah should be able to be 9 tefachim high, not 10. Okay, that first approach didn't work out so well. Second approach of the Gemara, maybe we can learn it out from second approach already takes us to the Amud Beis. Second approach of the Gemara is that maybe we'll learn it out from the Kruvim as they spread out their kanfan, they spread out their wings in order to cover the Aron. And there's airspace between the wings and the Aron, and that airspace is 10 tefachim. How do I know that? Okay, okay. In summary, we'll just simply say we know. That's 10 tefachim. And so therefore, that will be a source as well. The Gemara ends up saying, yeah, that might be a good source, but that's assuming that the Aron is 10 tefachim high. Not everyone is in agreement that the Aron is 10 tefachim high. Machlok is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And you'll recall that we spent a lot of time with this machlokus, if you remember, because what we try to do is we try to fit the luchos and the shivrei luchos and the sefer Torah all in the aron. This is going back to which masechta? I don't remember. Okay, sorry, but the Gemara over there had a lengthy discussion regarding how to fit everything in the aron, and it really depends now on how. But this is a length width issue. But okay, but it's the same issue. Meaning that if the Torah gives a description of the Aron being an Amma Rachlova, Amma Vechetzi Kamaso, and so it's actually going to, it's going to fluctuate based on how much is an Amma. And if you hold of the five Tefach Amma, you obviously have less room in the Aron, and where's everything fitting? If I remember correctly, I believe the Sefer Torah just simply didn't fit. Okay. Anyway, we had this discussion recently, so I'm going to guess we had a Yuma. Okay, good. Anyway, so fine. So all the second approach only is going to work if the Aron is actually 10 tefachim high. Not everyone agrees. And if you don't subscribe that the Aron is 10 tefachim high, so minahani mili, how do I know that the minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tefachim? And the answer is halacha la Moshe Mi Sinai.